Good morning. Good morning. What a beautiful morning it is, and hopefully you're able to enjoy it. Congratulations, Fairhaven. Democracy worked. Congratulations to Pam Kichler and Rick Trapillo, and congratulations to Miles Grant, by the way. Just by running, you kind of are a winner, and I know Miles will stay involved in the town, and I don't think we've seen the last of Miles at all. So, Miles Grant. Congratulations to everybody else who won. Got elected to a board, and now you got to go out and do the work, right? And the town has spoken once again on Proposition 2.5, and there'll be some reductions, but I'm sure the Board of Selectmen, the other elected officials, and the town administrator will work to make them as palatable as possible, right? And look, let's face it. It was a loss for Maura Healey's formula for funding local governments, or lack thereof. I mean, that's really what happened. You don't have enough money, and the voters have said, we can't give any more. So it is a local referendum, really, on Maura Healey's leadership, if you really think it all the way through, and I'm not sure that most people will do that. You just have to realize this is a failure of Maura Healey's leadership, her formulas for state finance, local finance. The reps, the senators, they do the best they can, sometimes better than we anticipate in the case of Senator Montigny. But at the end of the day, it's the governor's budget. And her little tricks that she wanted to add to the budget to let local municipal officials raise taxes on you and me, that's also DOA, dead on arrival, in the state legislature. Mostly because of you folks raging against it, right? You don't want to have a triple auto excise tax. You don't want to pay more when you go out to a restaurant. All of that was put to sleep. And the referendum vote yesterday overwhelmingly rejecting a property tax increase in Fairhaven, once again, is a referendum. A rejection, really, of Maura Healey's policies, because there would be plenty of money for local aid. But they have other priorities. We heard it time and time again from some of the more conservative people running and some of the more liberal people running. Budgets are about values. They're about values. And you can see that you have no value if you live in a local town. If you work as a selectman, a school committee member, you can see in the towns what you're not getting. And you know where the money's going from Maura Healey. So anyway, any comments on the election? I'm happy to hear it. I hope everybody is like me. You're just glad they're over. And now you got some new people in there. Let them run let them work for the town and run the things they want to do, things they were elected to do. And we wish them well, right? So congratulations. 508-996-05. It's open phones. The mayor will be here at 11 o'clock. Anything that's on your mind, there's a whole lot going on. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hello?
Hello.
You know what I want to say?
What's that?
I never got a ballot to vote, and I'm a in-house patient. I'm blind. What happened? Hello?
I don't know. Did you ask the town for a ballot?
Yes. About a week ago, I talked to somebody at the town hall in the assessor's office, and she said she was going to send me one, and I'm a voter.
Yeah.
I'm very active in VFW also, and I I told her yes, and I'm glad the men I wanted got in, but I feel like I was slighted. Wouldn't you feel like that?
Oh, certainly. Certainly.
Because I believe so much in voting, and I was born here in Fairhaven, and this is my hometown. Another thing I want to ask you, Chris.
Okay.
Did you have sisters?
I did not.
Oh, because I knew some McCarthy girls. I thought maybe they were your sisters.
My brother, my dad had sisters in Fairhaven.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it was him because I'm older.
Yeah,
you know?
They lived on Chestnut Street.
Oh, no, I had one that lived over here on Morgan Street. Now it's Glenhaven. I became very friendly with her. She passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was a McCarthy.
I'm not sure about this, you know, what happened with your ballot. What I would do, so that it doesn't happen in the future, is reach out to the town clerk and talk to the town clerk, make sure they got your address and all of that information correct.
That's who I talk to. Okay. You know, I can't deal out. I have somebody that has to dial it for me because I'm blind.
Yeah.
And I've got a special phone that's programmed there right now. And that's how come I got your number, you're programmed in. But I can't dial out at all because I'm blind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
It makes it hard.
So we have a little bit of time before the next election.
I'll try to get a neighbor to call in for me. That's what I'll do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you so much. I enjoy listening to you all the time.
I am so happy you're out there listening to me. I do appreciate it. I really do. And anytime you want to call, you pick up the phone and call me.
Yeah, I'm a real Fairhavenite. I was born right here, never moved. My parents had a farm here, and now there's no more farms, you know.
There's no more farms.
I can go way back, yeah. Uh-huh.
Fairhaven was my first town. My parents brought me to Wilbur's Point right from the hospital in 1971 in the summer when I was born.
Young.
It's all relative, right? And so Fairhaven was my first town. Of course, I grew up in Freetown, but we spent all our summers here in Fairhaven and still have the place here in Fairhaven.
See, in Freetown, I belong to the Freetown VFW.
That's the best around.
Oh, I'm a past president from there.
Really?
And I climbed up higher into district, and I became a past president with them, too. Yeah. But I felt hurt when I never got my thing to vote. I really felt hurt.
I understand because, listen, everybody has the right to vote, and especially when you tried, and for some reason you didn't get the ballot. We'll look into that.
Okay, thank you again.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much. 508-996-0500. That's how you can call the program. It's open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Again, congratulations, Pam Kichler, Rick Trapillo. They got elected to the select board here in Fairhaven. The margins are pretty significant. So I would say it's an overwhelming victory, right? And both of them are very experienced. Both very pleasant people who I think will work very well together. While maybe not agreeing on everything, they are both very agreeable people. So I'm really excited or happy for the new Board of Selectmen, or the Select Board as it's constituted now. Congratulations, Marcus Farrow. He did run unopposed, but he's back on the Board of Public Works, and we're all always congratulatory of Marcus Farrow. He's just a dynamic guy, really great guy, and a relatively new father. So I'll take a break, and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy, weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. Can you imagine it was just a couple of months ago we were buried in snow and now it's absolutely beautiful out there and it's warmed up and it's absolutely fantastic. I didn't think we were going to make it through the winter. I didn't think I was going to make it through. It was just so cold, so much snow. But here we are. Enjoy it. Enjoy it while it lasts. But make sure your automobile can enjoy the summer like you're enjoying it Bring your automobile to Mack Auto Sales right on Rivet Street in the city of New Bedford. Mack Auto Sales, a family-owned business that repairs all makes and models of automobiles, just like the one you're driving right now. And they will get your car ready for the inevitable hot, hot weather that's coming. If it hasn't already arrived, call Mack Auto Sales and Repair and make an appointment today. Call them at 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays 9 to 5 for your convenience. You're driving a foreign car? Perfect. Mack Auto Sales specializes in servicing farm-made automobiles. They do a great job with American-made automobiles as well. They service the whole fleet here between WBSM and Fun 107. Mention us. You'll get a nice break on the repair bill. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and the quality used cars for sale at Mack Auto Sales. Tell them Chris McCarthy sent you. Okay, open phones, guys. There's a whole lot in the news. I don't know if you were following the campaigns here in Fairhaven. The election results are all in. The election's over. Proposition 2.5 went down. We're not going to raise taxes in Fairhaven, but you're going to obviously have to cut some government services. So that's the next sort of shoe to drop, right? And this is what's been happening all around the state. In fact, you guys in New Bedford are going to lose, it looks to me anyway, some fire coverage, some future police coverage, right? Because you're not hiring police. And part of that has to do with the mayor saying, and obviously accurately, that he didn't believe, because I asked him a couple of ways, would he look at a Proposition 2.5 override? And he said, it would never pass. It would never pass in the city of New Bedford. And he cited the past rejections in Fairhaven, and we can obviously cite the current rejection that happened yesterday in Fairhaven of an override of Prop 2.5, and it happened in Lakeville. It's happened in Berkeley. It's been a resounding no. People do not want to raise their own taxes. They do not. All right. Open phones. It's on your mind. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, those Johnny-come-latelys that you got in Fairhaven, they're very much outnumbered, as I figured they would be. How do I get that form of government into New Bedford? That's what I want to know. How can we make New Bedford a town if we have the people vote on these things?
You know what's funny? Years ago now, people in Sassaquin, when I was a selectman in Freetown, they asked, this is the 90s, they said, hey, how do we become part of Freetown? And I said, I have no idea, but I don't think we're interested, you know? I love the people of Sassaquin, but I said, I think it's a lot of work that we're not going to do. But basically, a lot of people in New Bedford have thought about trying to become, into the towns.
Well, it would make sense for those people in Sassaquin to want to join Freetown and not have to endure the ever-rising taxes of John Mitchell. The tax man. That should be his theme song when he comes on later on today. Because, all of a sudden for him just to find out about this after he's been a decade in office, and he just found out that, back in 2008, we haven't got as much money from the state. Gee, you just found that out after a decade? You, a former prosecutor, a man of letters, a man of education, for him to play now that he didn't understand that this was coming until a decade, it's kind of hard to realize. What say you, my friend?
Well, I mean, he has been trying to institute real changes, but he cannot get the city council to go along. And
the city council has no power. You know that. All the city council can do is whittle away at things. The real power is in the mayor's office.
Needs the city council if he's going to make real institutional changes.
Council for. I'm not knocking the city councils, don't get me wrong, but the form of government we have, the mayor's office, whoever the mayor is, whether it be him or Scott Lang or Rosemary Tierney or whoever you want, Fred Kalis, they're the ones that have the control of the budget. It's a powerful form of mayor's office. And with John Mitchell, he understands that, and he takes full advantage of that to do exactly what he wants to do.
What would you suggest he does, then, with this powerful form of government?
Leave. This four-year thing, too, big mistake. A bad legacy.
Oh, I agree with you on the four-year term.
Bum. I don't believe John Mitchell isn't a worker. Don't get me wrong. He works. He works for what he wants. But if he leaves someday and some bum gets in here, this city is going to have a lot of problems if the guy just goes into the mayor's office, unlike Mayor Mitchell, right, and just sits there and does nothing. And one of the biggest problems I saw with the last city council was that they were talking about, what if, let's say, Mitchell gets elected, or any person, and within a year's time, they say, oh, I'm going to leave. So the present form that we have says that the city council head will become the mayor. Well, that was okay when you had a two-year term, because that was only to finish out a two-year term. Now you're going to have a three-year person, and what happened then? Would you have a new city council person every year? It creates a problem. What's been done with the four-year thing should jive with your charter, and what he did didn't make it jive. So that's going to be a terrible legacy to leave to the future of the city of New Bedford. What say you, my friend?
Well, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. I would say, first of all, when the people put that on the ballot, one of whom, when they changed, first of all, the voters of New Bedford changed it to a four-year term. There were leaders in the city who wanted that. They put it on the ballot. The voters changed it to a four-year term. We had a pretty robust discussion about it here on the radio. Scott Lang was opposed to it. He ran radio ads, but it was a juggernaut. There were a lot of people in favor of it. The leader of it is actually now living in Europe. He doesn't live in America anymore. One of the few people to threaten to leave, and actually did leave to go to Europe. And so what should have been in that, and I can't recall if there was any conversation at the time, but what should have been part of that four-year, if you wanted to move to a four-year term, which you did, you should have had an escape clause, should have had a way to remove somebody. That was not in the referendum. That was not in the ballot question. So currently, you have a four-year term with no way to remove a mayor. For any reason, there's no way to get him out. There's no recall. Okay? So that was a major, I'm assuming, miscalculation by the crafters of the ballot question to go from a two-year to a four-year term. I'm assuming that was a major miscalculation. Maybe it was intentional. I don't know. I really don't know. But it is what it is. This is what you have now. And still not making its way, trapped in the city council, is a recall that would apply to all elected officials, including the city council. But I know many of the city councilors, at least a critical majority, appear to be upset and worried that they might get recalled. I'm here to tell you that nobody on that city council, to parrot what my last caller just said, has enough power to make a difference that you need to recall them. You might want to recall them for optics. Say one of them got, I don't know, wrongly accused of drunk driving or something else like that. You might want to, for optical reasons, remove them from office. But they don't have enough power. And together as 11, they don't have enough power to make that much of a difference. Although I disagree with the caller that they don't have any power, because they do. And the mayor does need them on a couple of things. But anyway, currently trapped in the city council is a recall. It would apply to them. That's what's holding it up, I believe. But also, most importantly, to the mayor. Okay? Not because this mayor needs to go, but because any future mayor would have the same four-year no-cut contract. And that's not good. It's not good. It's just not. What do you think of the results in the murder trial down in Texas. There was a lot of people outside of that trial trying to make it a bigger deal, more about other things than it really was. You had two young men, one's dead, one ruined his life. Right, they were at a track meet. The dead guy was white. The convicted murderer was black. To me, it was two young men at a track meet, and they got into a dispute. Stupid stuff. Really stupid stuff. And now one young man is dead because he was stabbed. Who expects... First of all, you never expect to get stabbed. You hope you don't get stabbed. But certainly when you go to a track meet, you don't expect that somebody's going to pull out a knife and plunge it into your heart. Right? You don't expect that. And it was a dispute over like a cooling tent. One young man, the murderer now, went into the cooling tent because it's Texas. They have a tent out there and the track meets to keep the sun off them. He went in there. He was asked to leave repeatedly. He refused. It got a little bit physical, and it ended in a murder. I mean, absolutely unnecessary, total waste of life. Waste of two lives, right? Young man is dead, never coming back.
Thank you.
And, then a young man is dead. He's never coming back. And this other young man who stabbed him, totally unnecessary, right? He's going to spend, he's alive, but he's going to spend 30-something years in prison. In prison. For what? For what? And then you had activists out there trying to make it about race, saying there weren't enough black people on the jury. There weren't enough. I mean, look, you cannot stab an unarmed man at a track event. It's not about race. Every person knows that. And the fact that you had people trying to make it about race, trying to make it about something that it wasn't. What's it about? Young men getting in a foolish dispute, and one of them stabbing the other one to death. I mean, just totally, totally unnecessary, totally outrageous. And I'm glad there were no riots. It seemed a little tense at the courthouse, but to me, it seemed, no pun intended, pretty cut and dry, right? One guy had a knife, which shows sort of intent. I'm not sure if trespass is the right word, but certainly being uninvited into some other person's space is a form of trespassing. And then it got heated, but of course that's what happens at that age. And really should happen at any age. You go into someone's area where you know you're not supposed to be. They ask you to leave. You ignore it. You keep going. And then ends with the aggressor stabbing a young man to death. So I'm glad that down in Texas, it stayed calm. But really sad, this Austin Metcalf, who was the victim, dead. And his father was so devastated, as you can imagine any father would be, to lose their son. I think he has a twin brother who witnessed the murder. And this Carmelo Anthony, who's now a convicted murderer, his life is ruined. He's going to go to prison for 30 some odd years, which might not be enough. I'm not sure. I think you take another person's life intentionally, because what reason would he have a knife at a track meet? Right? It's like they were in a cooking competition or out camping where you would have a knife or, and, you know, you just grab it. No, he had a knife at a track meet. That seems to me to be really hard to overcome. So, anyway, I was bothered by it when I first heard about it. And I'm glad to see that our country has reached some level of maturity that people aren't making this about themselves and their grievances and rioting about it. I think we've reached, hopefully, at least at this moment in time, a level of maturity where people realize this is just a sad, totally avoidable event, and that hopefully going forward, parents will instruct their children and the children will listen. You don't need a knife. Why would you be carrying a knife around, particularly to a track and field event on school grounds? Just so unnecessary that this Carmelo Anthony is going to mature in prison. Just an absolute loss for all the families all the way around, but obviously, most importantly, the young man who was murdered. Terrible. Terrible. All right, take a break. Then we'll be back. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. This hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. Great day to sit on the deck at Rose Alley, downtown New Bedford. So, I know last night there was a unity rally here in Fairhaven at Travel's Ale House for the short sleeve Sean Oliver ticket for governor and lieutenant governor. They're looking for the Republican nomination. And I think the numbers looked pretty good. I was not there. I had dialysis yesterday. Yesterday was a real busy, difficult day for me, as it usually is. So I wasn't able to get there. I was there when Sean kicked off his historic announcement as a New Bedford candidate running statewide office. But I was not there last night. If you were there, I'd be happy to hear about it. There is a lot of conversation about how to get on the ballot, right? Sean Oliver is on the ballot. Sean Oliver got enough votes at the convention, got enough signatures certified statewide to the Secretary of State. He's on the ballot for lieutenant governor. You'll see Sean Oliver in September on the ballot. See him probably everywhere in September, but certainly on the ballot. So, in the Republican primary. And if you want to vote in the Republican primary, you can be either a Republican or unenrolled. Got to be unenrolled. The deadline is a little bit away, but you should, if you want to vote for Sean Oliver, however you want to vote, if you want to vote in the Republican primary or the Democrat primary, you either have to be a member of the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, right, for whichever primary, or you can be unenrolled, and then you get the opportunity to select the ballot. You cannot select a Republican and Democrat ballot. You got to make a choice. And there's stuff going on the Republican ballot. There's stuff going on the Democrat ballot. Now, we all know the story, and I don't think it's ever going to really go away. It doesn't appear to be. Of Ann Brensley. Ann Brensley is a member of the select board in the town of Wayland, beautiful town of Wayland. And she's a member of the select board, and she decided to run for lieutenant governor. She did a marvelous job going all around the state to the little town committees, city committees, giving speeches, answering questions. So much so that she had a critical majority of the delegates for the convention. there was no stopping Ann Brensley. Well, from the outside anyway, there was no stopping Ann Brensley. She literally won the endorsement of the Republican convention for lieutenant governor. And then everything fell apart. Everything fell apart. There was tax issues. Now, those don't really bother me because I recognize that people in business, which a lawyer is in business, there's different things that happen. There's different tax obligations. There's all kinds of things that can happen. However, in the case of Ann Brensley, she had a lien put against her home by the IRS. That's like a basic document. Anybody with a little bit of looking can see it. And Ann Brensley, who's a lawyer, knew that anybody would be able to see that. So the fact that it existed meant it was only going to come up in the future. So the fact that she stepped forward to be the lieutenant governor candidate for the party. Now, the taxes were eventually paid off, I'm told, once they became public. But that was kind of a disappointing way to get introduced to the voters, right? That you're going to win the convention, but you've also got these tax questions out there. Now, I mean, John Hancock didn't pay his taxes. There were a lot of people in the revolution, and we're going about to celebrate the 250, right? A lot of those guys at heart were tax cheats, okay? So I give some leeway to that. My point being is that it's still the average person realizes they got to pay their taxes, and they don't appreciate people who run for public office who maybe don't pay their taxes. We've certainly seen that locally on Democrat side, right? It's not only Republicans. Democrats have that same problem as well. But here we are, right? The other candidate in the race was Ann Manning Martin, or is Ann Manning Martin. She is a city councilor like Sean Oliver. She's from the city of Peabody, up on the North Shore. City of Peabody. Been a long time city councilor, actually. Long time member of the Republican Party. Run for sheriff. I think she ran for governor's counselor as well. Ann Manning Martin. And she had to get 10,000 signatures certified to get on the ballot. Sean Oliver did it. We already said Sean Oliver is on the ballot as a lieutenant governor's candidate for the Republicans. He'll be on the ballot in September. Ann Manning Martin hired a couple of different contractors. I went and looked at her OCPF filings, Office of Campaign and Political Finance. She hired a number of different signature gathering contractors. That's pretty standard. I know we'd like to think that the candidate goes out there and gets all the signatures, but it's a very difficult task to get 10,000 certified signatures. And there are other restrictions. They can't all be from the same town. Maybe they're not even from the same county. There are restrictions, okay? And maybe it's time to look at the rules and regulations for how a candidate can get on the ballot. But it's not now. I mean, maybe after the next election, we should look at those and maybe think about doing things a little differently. However, the rules are what the rules are. And the game is in process. So Ann Manning Martin, she also used a gentleman that Ann Brensley used, who, it is alleged, committed major acts of fraud in the signature gathering process. So much so that We heard Amy Cannavale here on this program, the chair of the Republican Party, announce last week that basically Ann Brensley should just go away. She didn't make the signatures. We don't know what she knew and when she knew it. This Bronski, who she paid to gather the signatures, I'm told he gave her her money back. She's a lawyer. She's looking to file lawsuits against him. Maybe she already has. So it seems that, well, we know there are allegations of fraud against this Republican activist, Bronski, in the signature gathering process. So Ann Manning Martin also used him. Ann Brensley used him. Ann Manning Martin used him. Michael Walsh, who's running for attorney general, he used that same gentleman as well. So all of them have signatures that are in question. Now, Ann Brensley looks like she also gathered some on her own, maybe used some volunteers, but I believe the bulk of her signatures, at least the fraudulent ones, came from this Bronski character. But Ann Manning Martin used him as well. Ann Manning Martin used him as well. And Sean Oliver, who, by the way, is not only a candidate and a city councilor, he's also the chair of the Republican Party here in the city of New Bedford. As a candidate, as a chairman, he has an obligation to question Ann Manning Martin's signatures. Right? Yeah, will it benefit him if she's knocked off the ballot? Yeah. But it'll also benefit the Republican Party to root out fraud. You do not want somebody getting on the ballot, having Republicans maybe elect them to be their nominee, to only then have the very formidable Kim Driscoll, Lieutenant Governor, and the Democrat Party say, yeah, they shouldn't be on the ballot. So I think it's totally proper, as reported in the Boston Globe yesterday, that Sean Oliver has retained the very capable attorney, Dan Winslow, former judge, to examine Ann Manning Martin's signatures and to ask her the important questions. What did she know and when did she know it? What did she know and when did she know it? By the way, I think it'll be cathartic for her to get that on the record as well, to think it through. Because she's probably in the tunnel right now, right? Not really thinking about it, wondering how do I scrap and stay on the ballot. But I think it's important to step back. All of us who intend on voting in September and November, and think about how do these candidates get on the ballot, both Republicans and Democrats. And where there's smoke, there's sometimes fire, right? Where there's smoke, there is sometimes fire. Certainly, we know that Ann Brensley understands that now, right? What a horrible thing to happen to her. But also, when did she know and what did she know? Take a break. We'll be right back. Years, Bass Ready Rooter has been the trusted name in drain cleaning and septic maintenance all across New Bedford, Fall River, Dartmouth, Fairhaven, all over the place. From emergency clogs to hydro jetting and camera inspections, the expert team at Bass Ready Rooter delivers same-day solutions the right way with honesty and respect. Keep this number for when you have one of these stressful situations, like a septic clog, drain clog, call Bass Ready Rooter at 508-995-8012. Again, 508-995-8012. Or visit bassready.com. Bassready.com. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. What's happening, Carlos? Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, man, I love these days. Not too hot. Nice and cool. Turn that down, please. Sorry. phones nowadays. Yeah, I just wanted to update something. I had brought some stuff yesterday about the assessor's office. I did a little bit of thinking.
Okay.
A few people called me. you can only imagine. And, you know, I must say, out of the three, I think they have no choice. You know, Beauregard definitely would be the choice if I, you know.
Steve Borga.
And, you know, I have some, I have some grievances with it, but out of those three people, I would think he's the most qualified and probably would be the guy that could do the best job. You know, Connie's son's a little young, plus him being related to a city council. I don't think that's cool.
No, it's literally.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, it would be an entanglement that's unnecessary.
Yeah, and people, even though he probably wouldn't do a bad job or do anything inappropriate, but you would always have that looming over the assessor's office. So I don't think that's appropriate. I think everybody knows why I wouldn't accept Morat because of her behavior and the things she did in the past. But yeah, I think Beauregard would probably do a decent job. You know, he's definitely ran some big departments.